and spirit preaching, truthful preaching, and Bible preaching.
Amen.
Wasn't a whole lot of opinions. It was what the Bible says.
Amen.
I like that. Amen.
Amen.
Good. See a full house tonight. Gonna get fuller, ain't it?
Amen.
Is that a word, fuller? Miss Meyer tells me all the time that ain't a word. I got a lot of words out of Miss Sheepa that she said ain't a word. I said, well, it is too. I just said it. Mississippi got their own language, amen? And I think Arkansas has by being around Brother Jim a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be here tonight. Appreciate everybody coming, and good to see Brother Cardi and his family. And hadn't seen him in a while. I thought he might have backslid on me. Amen. Good to be here, and good to have Brother Burton and his brother, Miss Donna, his wife, and Brother Jerry with us. And he brought a friend. I'm going to tell a story on him. Brother Gary Nix. He worked with me years ago at a Ford dealership, and I got cut up pretty bad, and I got stabbed 5 times in the back doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I was fighting 2 people. When you're big, you never have a fight with 1 person. They come in groves at you. Amen. But anyway, he heard I died. And 30-something years later, him and Brother Burton, they were sitting in a restaurant, and me and I think Bubba was with me that day. Remember that, bro? We came in, and I spoke to Brother Burton, went over and sat down, and Brother Gear asked him. He said, that looked just like Charlie Andrews. He said, that's who that is. He said, no. He said, he died. He said, no, that's him. So Brother Gary come over and he had to touch me. Amen. See if I was living. And I shook hands with him a while ago and said, you fixing to hear a dead man preach. Amen. I hope the message ain't dead. Amen. But good to have them out. And been knowing Brother Gee, he was a young man back then, those days. And I am a miracle. Not only called God to save me, but I went through some pretty rough things back in those days. And God brought me through them, and I'm very thankful for it.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would. I want to stay with the theme of the meeting, and we had good messages last night.
Amen.
Regardless who was preaching them, they were still pretty good. Amen. You ain't going to get no compliments out of me, that's for sure. Amen. We ain't nothing but a bunch of old sinners saved by grace. And when you think you more than that, you probably need to get saved. Amen. I want to stay with a theme, and I want to preach tonight on this thought on how to know your fires went out. Amen. And a lot of God's people, they're attending church every Sunday, and they're going through the motions, but they've let that fire that God started in their heart, they let that thing go out on them. Amen? And if somebody preached this morning, they don't even know it. That's what's so sad when you're going through the motions and you don't know that the fire's out. And I'm always excited to meet somebody been in this thing 40 or 50 years, and they still wired up, man. I mean, it don't take much to excite them, you know, and they'll say he'll shout at the drop of the hat and drop the hat if he has to. Amen. I like that. I like that crowd. Amen. That's my crowd. But it seems like the older we get in the Lord, it seems like the less we enjoy him. And it shouldn't be that way. It ought to be the other way. Amen. The older you get, the more God blesses you, and the more you learn about this book, as Brother Joe preached this morning, you ought to be excited. Amen. As we see the day approaching, the Bible says.
Right.
And loved ones, the day is approaching.
Amen.
Look around you. It is approaching. Amen. So read with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen.
Yeah.
Most of you in here tonight has heard enough preaching that they shouldn't be one flaw about you. They shouldn't be one habitual sin in your life. And this whole community ought to be turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. But we do leak. They got a lot of leaking going in Wapa and Washington, but there's a lot of leaking going in the church too. Amen. It seems that we can leak down from Sunday morning to Sunday night. And by Wednesday night, we absolutely flat. Amen. And come back and get pumped up again and go again. But that's the way God made us. We are sinful by nature. And God saved our soul, and amen, we're doing the, well, I don't know if you're doing the best you can. I don't think I do the best I can.
Yes, amen, preacher.
Amen. Almost got me to tell a lie there, didn't you? But I want to show you something. Look back, if you would, Leviticus chapter 6. I want to show you something. I preached this up, this part up in Canada the other day. So, Brother Jim, you act excited, and Brother Terrence. You act like you've never heard, not this message, but this part. Amen. You get old as I am, been as long as I do, I just take parts and put them together, and I got a whole sermon. Amen. I take part of Brother Ellis's, part of Brother Jim's, part of Brother Terrence's, and part of Brother Justice. Amen. But look what it says here, and this is where God was giving the instruction to Moses for the sin sacrifice. And look, if you would, in verse 2 there, Leviticus chapter 6, if a soul sin and commit trespass against the Lord in lying to his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or has deceived his neighbor, or has found that which was lost and lieth concerned. And so what he's doing there, he's giving them instructions on what to do in order to offer a trespass offering in verse 6, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. And that was a sin sacrifice. And look what it says in 7. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassings thereof. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering in the burnt offering, because of the burnt offering upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Now what you got here, you got, he told them how to build an altar, how to make the sacrifice, and in God's order, that sacrifice had to be cut up a certain way and laid a certain way on that altar. Amen. You just didn't cut its throat and sling it up there. Amen. God is a God of order. Always remember that. Amen. And his life, when you get saved, God requires order in your life. Amen? Not disorder. He's not a God of confusion. But look what he says down there. Let's ease on down, and then we're getting back over here where we're going to preach. And in verse 12, and he said, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offering. Yep. What I want to preach on tonight, look here, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now, this was a physical sacrifice. This is what the Jews had to do in order to keep a relationship with God. Now, two places in the Word of God, we're called priests. Amen? So in the church age, when God saves us, we are our own priest. We don't have to look through a knot hole at a knot head and tell him our sins. Amen? Amen. We can go straight to the throne of grace and do business with God, amen, on personal basis. I don't have to confess to Brother Andrew. I don't have to confess to Brother Jim none of my sin. I can get on my knees in the privacy of my house, amen, or in my prayer closet, and I can go straight to the throne of God and get my sins taken care of. So what God intends for us to do in the church age, in the age we're living in, is to keep the fire burning down in our heart, so when the priest, the high priest, comes down, amen, we can do business with God immediately. Amen. We don't have to have a go-between. We don't have to have none of that. You can do it on a daily basis as you go through your day. Amen. You can do business with God. That's the best way I think you ought to. Don't wait till that night to get right about something. Bless God, get right then. Amen. Because you're going to forget about it. I can tell you that right now. Unless you keep a little notepad and a pen in there and write it down. Amen. You're going to forget about it. And when you get to your prayer closet, you're going to think you're doing pretty good when God's got a list and you ain't got one. Amen. It's best you keep the list. So I want to preach tonight on that thought as your fire went out. Now, this is on fire for God, and that's what that's a reference to there. And I want to show you some things tonight that will help you do a personal checkup to see if your fires went out. First of all, when the preaching of Calvary no longer breaks your heart. Can a preacher get up and preach about Calvary and preach about Jesus and what He done? Does that break your heart? Does that not bring tears to your eyes? Amen. When a man can get up and really exalt the Lord and talk about the suffering that he had on Calvary's cross, amen, and you can just sit there stone-faced, ain't no emotion, you don't turn your bloom loose either, amen, you hold on to it, you don't shout, you don't wave your little pinky or nothing, amen. Does it no longer stir you when the preaching of Calvary? Or you just wait till Easter to get all emotional about Calvary, amen? Hey, it ought to be that a man of God get in the pulpit and preach on Calvary. It ought to be something that stirs you up, that softens your heart, amen, and let your mind go to Calvary and where Jesus Christ shed His blood to save your wretched soul, amen, because He loved you and for no other reason whatsoever. Now, the singers can get up and sing about it, and we'll get, buddy, we'll get loose on them, amen. I mean, you'd make a Presbyterian shout when the singers sing, but you let a man of God get up and get to preaching. Amen, son, they quieten down. They'll shout it out during the singing, but boy, they'll lock down on you during the preaching. There's something wrong and your fires went out when no longer somebody preaching and bragging about Jesus Christ and preaching on Calvary's cross, it don't do something down in your heart. Amen. It don't squeeze your heart and them tears to come out in your eyes there a little bit. I saw a woman this morning wiping tears out of her eyes. I won't say who it is. Hey, I like that. Amen. I think a grown man ought to cry every once in a while. Amen. Just brag on Jesus. Yeah. Hey, Brother Justice mentioned it this morning. And a lot of times when I was pastoring there, buddy, it'd be 9 o'clock and I didn't have nothing to preach. Now, I know some of these more spiritual brothers, they got it on Monday, they think about it on Tuesday, meditate on Wednesday, illustrate it on Thursday, you know, put a few poems in it on Friday, and on Saturday they rest, and on Sabbath they fired up and raring to go, amen? But I'm telling you, I wasn't one of them, buddy. They've been a lot of mornings at 9 o'clock, I had nothing. Say, what'd you do? I just preached Jesus, bless God. Just get up and brag on Him, amen? Hey, you can always, you're gonna hit a home run every time you preach on Calvary. Amen. And if you've been to Calvary, there ought to be something about that message and that thought, amen, that ought to break your heart of the price that was paid for your wretched soul. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. It's just another story. No, it's not. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest story ever wrote. There've been more songs sung about Calvary than any subject, amen, in the world. There've been more books wrote about Calvary than any subject in the world. And there've been more effect from what happened on Calvary than anything, any event that's ever happened in this world. Boy, thank God for Calvary. Calvary, I found peace for my soul. Amen. At Calvary, I found a place to leave my burdens. At Calvary, I found a person who loved me. Amen, regardless of who I was. At Calvary, I found people who cared about me. At Calvary, I found a plan for my life. And at Calvary, I found a purpose to get up every morning and go through my day. Amen. Yes, God, I don't know about you, but it stirs me up when you get preaching about Calvary. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul said this. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The old rugged cross makes the difference. Do you enjoy preaching on Calvary? What if Brother Andrew got up here every Sunday and just preached Calvary? Like, I think it's Brother Justin. I don't know. I can't keep preachers straight no more. But somebody said this morning, well, he ain't studied much, has he? You know what they're hunting? They're hunting the deep things. Brother Earl Hughes had a good saying on that. He said he got in a meeting where a bunch of doctors was, and Brother, some of y'all probably don't know him, some of you do. But Brother Earl said, all these doctors here, and said, boy, you dig deep. I mean, you go deep. I mean, you go way down in there. He said, how about coming up with a little water every once in a while? Brother Jack said all them doctors showed up. He didn't know God was sick. Amen. At Calvary, man. There ought to be something about Calvary. Thank God for the songs wrote on it, but I thank God for the message being preached about it. Hey, anytime I'm down, I can always go to Calvary. Amen. Anytime my heart been broke, I can always go back to Calvary. Amen. Anytime I've been disappointed, I can always go back to Calvary. Amen. Go right back where it started over 40 years ago now. I can go right back to Calvary. You know something else? Your fire has went out when the presence of the Spirit of God can't bless you. Amen. You've let the fire go out. And Brother Justin's meeting that this morning, and I pastored there 32 years and give that blessing to him, and he's having the time of his life. He is thrilled, I'm talking about. He is excited about it. He is. He's doing a good job, too. If he wasn't doing a good job, I'd still brag on him. For the first year, every time my phone rang and it said Scott Justice, I said he's quitting. I know he's quitting. And I'd answer it real slow. I wouldn't. Amen. But around our church, and for about the last month, and he talked about this morning, and I've been there a couple of services. Probably my God showing up so much, I'm gone all the time now. But it's true, and it'll be true right in this meeting this week. God will move in here, and God, there's sweet spirit in this church. There's sweet spirit in this meeting. And I'm telling you, some of you sit there, and you'll be wondering what happened.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There are three kind of people in every meeting. Those who make it happen, those who wonder what happened, and I can't remember the other. And those who are going to watch it happen. Amen. And I hope we got a lot of them here going to make it happen. Amen. God, I'm old. Didn't work with me here. Amen. But when the Spirit of God moves in and it no longer blesses you, it can't minister you, it can't lift you out of that hole you in. Amen. It can't encourage you. You can't leave in better shape than what you came in. Amen. There's something wrong with you. You've allowed the fire that God started down in your heart when He saved your soul. You've allowed it to go out, and you don't even have a spark left. Amen. When the Holy Ghost of God blows through, it can't even kindle it up no more. Amen. When I talked to somebody the other night, and I ain't going to say, are we on YouTube? All right. God, thank you. That'd be coming here, got me, put me in jail before I get through preaching. But she said, I need preaching. And all we doing at the church, you know who I'm talking about. She said, I have to have preaching. I mean, God's blowing through. The altars are full. Everybody in the church is at the altars. The altars are wet with tears. They snot rags and Kleenex going everywhere. People getting right with God, amen. And she would rather have preaching. That is a selfish person when you cannot enjoy the presence of God in a service. When the Holy Ghost comes in, He'll do more in 5 minutes than your preaching will in 5 years. Amen. Why in the world can't you just sit there and enjoy God, man? Just see God move. Yes, amen. Bless God. He's driving a train. Just get on it and ride till it stops. But I've been around meetings where a preacher get up and kill it every time God shows up. I've been around meetings where the first preacher preached, God will move in that service, and he'll get up and call his buddy right up there and kill that thing dead as a doorknob. Brother Joe, you've seen it. I've been in meetings where God showed up and the pastor got in the pulpit and I seen the door slam when the Holy Ghost left. Man, when a big preacher shows up, the little preacher needs to sit down and shut up. That's what this whole thing's about, getting God in here and letting God do the bless. Amen. But when the presence of the Spirit can't bless you, amen, be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. When God shows up, everyone ought to get a blessing. But there's some that can't get a blessing. Why? Because all you're going to do is sit there and think about your problem. Think about how hard you got it. Think about how sad you are. Think about how much money you ain't got. Amen. And it's all about you and none about God. John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he may increase. It ain't about us. Do y'all understand that? It ain't about you. This thing ain't about you. It ain't about me. This thing's about the Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. Amen. Well, I ain't making a fool out of myself. Well, Paul said he was a fool for Christ's sake. I believe I can be a fool. You'll be a fool down at the ball game. Little old Johnny got that football, and he don't know which end of it to hold, you know, but he's gone. And he's headed for the goalpost. Oh, you make a fool out of yourself. You'll come out of the stand and run right alongside him there, just shouting him off. Got that little three-year-old in T-ball, which is the most senseless, useless, dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. My God, who can't hit a ball sitting on a stick? Duh. I believe Ray Charles could hit that ball, amen? Stevie Wonder could probably hit that ball. But you got that little ball sitting on there, and little Johnny swings, and he whacks that thing, and he turns around and goes right back up in the stand. He don't know what. Buddy, you shouting it out. I mean, that's my boy. But you come to church, and you just dry up. Look like you baptized lemon juice, you know. Amen. Boy, God showed up. Hey, have your cup out. Lord blows through here before this meeting's over. Bless God, get your cup out. Amen. I don't know about you. I need a drink every once in a while. Amen. I do this quite. Well, I've been doing it every week now for about the last 2 months. I need a drink. Amen. That's what gets me down the road. That's what gets me from meeting to meeting. That's what, amen. And so when the Holy Ghost shows up and it can't bless you and it won't bless you and you won't let it bless you and you trying to sit there figuring out what's going on, what's all the emotion about? I'm not an emotional person. Yes, you are. I bet if I walked out there and slapped your face, you'd get real emotional. If the publishing clearinghouse showed up with that $1 million check, I bet you'd get a little excited. This got a good income tax check return to stir some of y'all up pretty good. I got to hurry up. You know something else you can check to see if your fires went out? When Satan no longer bothers you. Amen. It no longer bothers you. And you blaming it, and I think somebody preached a good message on that this morning. Brother Joe did, matter of fact. You blaming it on the devil, and the devil don't even know you saved yet. Because you ain't done nothing. You ain't changed nothing. You ain't quit. Hey, you ain't quit going where you was going. You ain't quit dressing like you've been dressing. Amen. Ain't nothing changed about it. The devil don't know you saved. It ain't the devil, it's you. Amen. Quit giving the devil more glory than you do God. But when the devil ain't bothering you, chances are your fires went out. You say, I'm saved, and you probably just as saved as I am, but I'm telling you, the devil don't bother people that ain't doing nothing for God. I put a little quote together about 40 years ago, 35 years ago, don't be involved in nothing the devil ain't mad at. Amen. If you ain't mad, brother, you're out of the will of God. He said, well, the devil's tearing up our church. Well, praise God, you're doing something for God. Devil tearing up my family. Well, you're doing something for God. Why would he bother your family if you ain't doing nothing for God? Amen. He didn't kill that battery. You left the lights on and killed the battery. He didn't blow that tire out. Why? You ain't rotated them suckers or checked the air in them in 5 years since you put them on there. He didn't wear the tire out. You're giving him too much glory. Amen. You don't hear Brother Charlie get up the pulpit and never say the devil done this and the devil done that. He might have done it, but hey, bless God, I ain't mentioning his name in it. I'm going to brag about what God done, not what the devil done. But when the devil don't bother you, I'd check up. Amen. I'd get that fire going again. I'd get that thing stirred up a little bit. You say, well, things have been going good. And I think it was Brother Jim said somebody left his church because they said since we come here, it ain't been nothing but trouble. We're going to a church where we don't have no trouble. Hey, you can find one. You can find one. You can find one probably within a half a mile of here. Just go down there and turn right and go to that and up on that hill over there. You can go in there and just sit down and be comfortable, amen? No, it ain't got the right book, so they ain't going to preach the right Bible. You ain't going to ever feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. You're never going to have the presence of God move in. Amen. You can go over there and play church all you want to. Amen. Boy, don't die on me now. I done said something about some other kind of church, so you... Amen. You're going to go back to point two, where when the presence of the Spirit can't bless you. Amen. Some of y'all got off right there. Get back on here with me. Let's go on down the road. 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You ain't going through nothing that the others hadn't went through. Amen? No matter what you involved in right now, everybody's involved in it. If they're doing something for God. Amen? Bible tells us, it says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to thee. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But when Satan no longer bothers you, your fire could have went out. Amen? When sinners no longer burden you. Amen? When sinners no longer burden you. You say, what are you talking about? A burden for the lost. When you can look at the multitude and it don't stir your soul. Amen. When you can see that poor old drug addict standing on a corner begging and it don't break your heart. You think he made that choice? You think he made a choice to sleep under a bridge and be strung out on something? I lost you right there, didn't I? I done talked to too many of them. Some of them never had a chance when they come into this world. They'd born into drugs. They was born into abusive family. They was born into a daddy that left them. They was born to a mama hooked on drugs. Amen. A lot of them didn't make that choice. They never had no other choice. Amen. Well, you can get a job. Really? Now, I know there's some out there, but I know that. But I tell you, I've talked to a lot of them, and I'm telling you, when you hear their story, amen, it breaks my heart. You do what you want to. I believe I could have been one if God hadn't saved me. I really believe, Brother Joan, I believe you'd be one too if God hadn't saved you. I know your testimony, and I know where you came from. You came just like I come through here. I know yours too. You'd be one of them on the streets of West Memphis bagging, or up north, wherever you come, that bunch of Yankees up there, amen. You've been saved twice. You realize that, don't you? You got saved from the north and you got saved from your sins. Amen. Amen. But when sinners no longer burden you, when you ain't got a burden for a soul, when you don't have a burden to give out a tract, when you don't have a burden to come down and go soul winning, when you don't have a burden to get you a partner and go knock on a door and just invite them out to church, amen. You ain't got to teach them 4 years of college or at the door. Just say, hey, why don't you come down to the house of God with us? That's why our churches today is empty. We'll go everywhere else, but boy, we can't show up for soul winning.
Yeah.
You know the best place to win people and fill the church up on the job?
Sure. Amen.
Our church was basically built off of jobs.
Yeah.
People inviting people. That's how Brother Bobby got there.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Brother Andrew invited him to church.
Yeah.
Drove him crazy, matter of fact.
Amen.
He got so crazy, he ended up getting saved.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Hey, that's your best. You were with them 20, you were with them 8-10 hours a day, 5 days a week. They watch how you live. They watch how you talk. They watch what you listen to. Amen. They just. I've had them walk up to me when I was working public work and say, "What's wrong? What's the deal with you? You different?"
Yeah,
I'm different. I'm saved.
Yeah.
I was a mechanic by trade, and that you really, if you don't know no curse words, start working on cars. You'll learn them. Like that preacher brought that lawnmower, and that little old boy, he's jerking on that lawnmower, and he said, "This thing won't crank." He said, "You got to cuss it." He said, "I don't cuss." He said, "You keep jerking on that string, you'll learn. You'll learn how. Just keep jerking that cord right there." Amen? But when sinners no longer can burden our heart, when no longer we see a soul, and we see a person, we see a soul, well, no longer when the down and out and the people that don't seem to be able to do very good or ain't doing very good. I tell you, if it hadn't been for the mercy and grace of God, ain't no telling where I'd be tonight. I'm telling you, people say, "Well, I'd be dead." I can't tell you I'd be dead, but I'm telling you one thing. I wouldn't be standing here with a suit on preaching to this church full of people. I can tell you that one. Amen. I wouldn't be traveling this world preaching the gospel at 74 years old. I'd probably be in a nursing home somewhere, sucking soup through a straw. I wasn't doing very good to God save me.
Yeah.
You ought to burden your heart. You say, "I don't know about Bible." You don't have to know Bible. All you have to know is what Jesus done for you. Like that old like that old boy over there, I think John 9, where he said, "Who done this? Who what done it?" He said, "I don't know who done it. All I know was that I was blind, but now I see." He didn't know John 3:16. He didn't know no Bible. All he knew was, "This God, I was blind. This man come along, and now I see." They's more interested in who done it than what got done. And I bet you right tonight, if we had some folks stand up and give testimony, half of you in here be shocked to death where they came from. Amen? You'd probably get up and move off the pew. Amen. Boy, that ought to burden your heart. I got a burden for souls. Why? Because what God done for me. God saved my soul, put my home back together. Amen. I mean, good gracious, man. Brother Joe gave testimony about that last night in his message. I mean, why in the world can't you go tell somebody else? You see a husband and wife in a mess, go talk to them. Say, "Hey, I tell you, I know a man who can. I know a man who can fix that. I know a man who can put you back together, amen, and get you down the road and take the blood and seal up that crack in that marriage." And, amen, me and Miss Meyer be married 50 years, the 17th of this month. Yeah, this month. She has been blessed for 50 years. I'm preaching. I forgot I'm preaching. I can't lie. When our eyes are not wet and our knees are not sore because of destruction and the distress of a person without Christ. Paul had a burden. He said this. He said, he wished himself to be cursed for his brethren's sake. And we can live a life of non-concern when the world as a whole is dying and going to hell. I believe your fires went out. And finally, let me say this. When sin in your life no longer bothers you. When you can just live an old wicked life and it don't bother you. You'll tell a lie at the drop of a hat. You'll beat your fellow man out of a dollar. Amen. You're looking at things you ain't supposed to look at. You're listening to things you ain't supposed to be listening at. I mean, you can just lay down right by it and go to sleep. It don't bother you one bit. I mean, you just lower your standards on about everything in your life. When you got saved, God convicted you about a few things, but after you got in this thing a little while, you started gathering them back up. Amen. I'd check that fire. Amen. Let me tell you something, Lois. If it was wrong when you got saved, let me give you a secret. It's wrong now. Man, when we got saved, everybody around us, and we went to Bible school with them bunch of nuts down there, and they'd come in and brag about shooting this television with a shotgun. And I never understood that. Don't shoot a good television. But when ball season would come along, guess what, Brother Jim? Go out there and buy another $500 television. If God convicts you, put it in the closet because the conviction will leave and you'll drag it back out. Oh, they talk about taking it down, sitting it on the bridge there over Escambia Bay, you know, and they blowed the center out of it with a shotgun. Nut job. Don't shoot a good television. If you get convicted, turn it around toward the wall. Because a wrestling match, a boxing match, a race car, amen, NASCAR race, amen, World Series, Alabama playing Auburn, you're going to want a television. Then you can turn it around. Go to church, somebody preach against one, you turn it back around to the wall. You can buy you one of them swivel bar stools and just set it on it, and you can just whirl it around. I've heard preachers say when they go in a motel room, they lay their coat over there. And I heard a preacher say that he calls his wife and gets permission to watch the news. Now, wouldn't you be proud to be married to that woman? That's my man. If I called Miss Meyer and asked her that, she'd send the police to get me wherever I'm at, in a straitjacket. Now, when he calls and asks permission, yes, honey, you can watch the news, but be sure to turn it off when the news goes off. Well, how does she know he don't? And if he's watching Fox News, he can watch all night long. See, Brother Andrew said that this morning. All of that stuff sounds spiritual. That is a bunch of baloney. And I cleaned that up quite a bit. Amen? But loved ones, when your fire is burning, it don't take much sin to bring you under conviction. Just to think that you displeased God. Just to think that you might have done something or something in your life that God's not pleased with. Amen? We got people in our church that ain't ever been to an altar. They've never come to an altar in that church. There's something wrong with that. Bless God, if you don't do nothing but just make a trip to say, thank you, Jesus. Just a trip of praise. Just a trip of thank you. Amen. Just thanking you. God, look at us, man. We look pretty good tonight. We dress pretty nice. Got a good air conditioner. I mean, an excellent air conditioner. Look, I seen three snowballs come by me over there before I got up. I was hunting me a snowmobile. But when sin no longer bothers us. Proverbs 28:13, I close with this. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now that, you don't need Greek and Hebrew on that one. If you do, there's a little Greek owns a restaurant downtown and there's a little Hebrew owns a hat shop. You don't go down there and talk to him about it. Amen. Mr. Miss Tanya, act like she ain't never heard me preach. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Period. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. He that loved the Lord, loved God, hateth evil.
Amen.
See, that's just simple stuff.
That's right, preacher.
I wonder tonight, is your fire burning?
Go ahead, preacher. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You've been saved 35, 40 years. Is that fire still burning?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I have to every once in a while get in there and stir mine up.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure you have to,
that's
too.
Right.
Yeah, one why I have to get up, and I might preach it before this week's over. I preached it up in Canada, I think, on maintaining the fire. Yeah, one why you have to put some wood on it.
Yeah, right.
And every once in a while you have to open the dampener and let the air get to it.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, one why you got to clean the stovepipe out, unless your wife builds it so big it sets the pipe on fire.
Yeah.
Then you have to build a house. I'm all the way across town one time, and her daddy was living with us, and he set the stove pipe on fire. It was blood red all the way up through the ceiling. And she calls me and tells me. And I'm on one side of Birmingham, and we live on the other side. So all I can think about is the house is going up in smoke. But you need a fire. And if you ain't got a fire, you need to get your fire kindled. If you've never been saved, you don't even have a fire. And the reason it is, when the high priest, in your sins, when you go to the high priest for the forgiveness of your sins, he's got a fire to work with.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads.
That's good, brother.
Lord spoke to you. I know we